All right, we are plugged in. We're back for Wednesday, the 22nd of March. It's the Crass Files podcast with Adam Nadine Sisterson plugging in with me again tonight for our chat. We're going to be chatting each month, Nadine, going over all the latest, having our discussions, which is really cool. And we just move forward, huh? So a couple of little important points to chat about tonight. Very interesting times indeed. To say the least, it really is. And I'm on here all the time, you know, and I'm not on with guests. I'm on just doing the Night Watch podcast and just chatting about all the latest. And I think I'll have a rest tonight, and it just so much going up on social media and our Telegram channels and people emailing me information. I'll just have a look online. I'm like, holy crap. And this is really interesting to break down and talk about and get out there to people, I think. So, it's really incredible times. I don't think I've ever done so much podcasting, but that's a good thing. Been doing this since 2015 and I'm still here doing it. We're still here. You know, it's like, shut up, Adam. But I'm still here. I'm still going. It's really cool. Anyway, a bit of work to do on the website coming up, and but everything seems to be running smoothly. So I would say to folks out there who might be new to the podcast, or a lot of people do email me from different parts of the world. Just had some good emails recently from the US, Arizona, some of these places, and folks saying hi and that. Had someone reach out who's living over in South America, who grew up at Long Reef. So hi to those guys who are listening when those podcasts go out there in the world. It's really cool, and it's great to be here and doing it. So good to have you on. Of course, Nadine, and Nadine is the former president of the AVN. That's the Australian Vaccination Risks Network, originally sort of run by Merrill Dorey, who's still in there, you know. But we'll talk about a couple of little thing I saw tonight, Nadine, get your opinion on it, with the bus and what they're doing. Came up on TOTT News, and I posted it. It's a really great organization. It was a bit much for you. You've stepped down since then, but you're doing a whole lot of different work, and it's always good to catch up with you because you're watching everything as well. And it's really important times that we keep getting information out to everyone that we can and keep the conversation going. Folks can head over to crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. That's my website. I run it alone here in Sydney, Australia. Nadine's a couple of hours from me up in Newcastle. And you can get on the website, and there's plenty going up, folks, and contact me through there. Everything's connected through there. We should have a little bit of a change coming up soon, which is going to be good. There is a members area, so I'll say hi to the Crass members. Those guys, some of them always logging in and having listened to everything is great, and throwing their support. And it's great to have them on deck. I can't do it without some kind of support. This kind of heavy websites, it's too hard, Nadine, with the hosting probably coming up. It's, you know, I need a good $600 or $500, you know, just to keep everything running this year. So members do help. And if folks out there want to sign up to that, do it on the crazfiles.com. And it's all pretty simplified now. And it's a great site, and good to be continuing and have real independent media here in Australia, you know, and breaking down everything. We do have elections coming up. So in New South Wales, Nadine and I are, of course, in New South Wales. We're going to chat about that and also break down some interesting, situation that happened recently with you, Nadine, and your mum. We don't have to keep it, you know, we can keep your mum out of it, like, you know, and everything, you know, we do the best we can, but it is, I was talking about it on the Night Watch podcast the other night, and I was saying you were going to come on and break this down, because it's, it really is an incredible thing what's going on in our hospitals, and this kind of scare that you guys had, and we had, and we're like, what's going on, what do you do, and, I was, of course, with you at that time, and we were bamboozled, thinking, what do you do in a situation like this where your mom, your dad, a loved one, a friend is in a situation locked in a hospital, and this kind of stuff's going on, and you don't know what's wrong with their health. It's crazy days, and of course with all the COVID stuff, this is interesting for you to break down then, the push for all the masking and everything that you went through, and the constant testing was really incredible as well. When a lot of people think, nah, it's all gone away. No, it wasn't. So I did mention last night that you would be on to break this down. Let's chat about this a little bit. This situation you went through, it was really hectic, wasn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for having me back on, Adam.
That's all right. We move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, you know, as you mentioned, being part of the AVN was a big part of my life for a long time. And to step away to be with my family was really imperative at the time, because I'd lost my father, and he died suddenly 2 months after having a Pfizer vaccination. And I, you know, I have alarm bells around that. And then to see my mother's health degenerate over the last year, coming up to Dad's anniversary in the next couple of weeks, and watching my mum, like, I've been going, oh, you know, I really hope she'd eat better and do a few things, but, you know, grief plays such a massive part on how you take care of yourself and what you can really be bothered with. And hers was very limited in caring too much. So, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, as you know, being with me, Mum, we had a really lovely dinner. She didn't feel great. Took some Gaviscon or something in the evening, and I just sort of said, well, look, you know, I'm just up here, like I was staying with her. And in the morning I heard her saying to a friend they couldn't catch up because she wasn't well. And when I saw her, it was like, whoa, hang on, what is going on here? She could hardly walk. She was shaking. Very, very mild fever. When I say mild, you know, 37.8, so getting up to 38. But, you know, with the other things going on and just being shaky, I thought, this isn't a really great scenario. I need to ensure that I'm here just keeping an eye on her and doing whatever I need to do in case she goes downhill. And evidently she did go downhill. We took her blood pressure and it was very, very low. And the doctors said, get an ambulance. So long story short, we ended up in the Mater Hospital here in Newcastle. And we spent 24 hours in emergency, and she had a bed, and they, you know, were testing her bloods. They could see that there was an infection there. And just by touch, they could see it was something to do with her gallbladder. She couldn't have an ultrasound until the following morning. So, you know, that sort of cleared, well, what we thought cleared was that, okay, there's just an infection. But in the meantime, entering the hospital, my mum's like, have you got your mask? And I said, no, Mum, I've got an exemption. Everything's fine. Let's just concentrate on you. You don't worry about me. Everything's fine. And I was offered a mask at the triage desk, and I just said, well, I've got an exemption. Is that, you know, does that still stand here? Which I know it does, but I always be polite. And as my pastor would tell me, I'm too nice to people. I shouldn't be so nice, which is quite funny. But anyway, she said, no, they still stand, that's fine, no problem. So I didn't have an issue not having a mask on. They didn't need to see the exemption. They were just like, yep, that's fine. Mum ended up taking her mask off. She said, look, I can't breathe properly. And they said, yeah, look, it's fine. We understand we're all having issues breathing as well, having to wear these things. And what I observed was everyone would come in either putting a mask on, but then when they saw me, they were like, oh, do I have to wear one? And so they'd sort of drop the mask a little bit. No one really had them on properly. But over the time of going in and out of emergency, you know, popping out to get a drink or something like that. They never questioned me again on wearing a mask. They never asked me to put one on in there. And then the next day, Mum got moved to a ward, and it was a completely different scenario, as you know, because I came home and Adam's there, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in a complete other universe. It was really distressing. I was going to get thrown out of the ward because I didn't have a mask on and I hadn't done a RAT test. Now, for many people listening, there'd be many of you that have never done a RAT test and many of you that have. Those of you that haven't would understand my feelings, because I have never done one at all. And I did actually say, what happens if I don't do it? And they said, well, you can't stay. And I said, well, I'm actually really anxious about having something shoved right up into the back of my nose. I don't feel comfortable with it, and it brings great anxiety, to be honest. It's just making me feel really, really nervous. And I'm worried about my mum too. Like, how many of these does she have to have? And they said, oh no, she's already been tested, which that had happened in emergency when I'd closed my eyes for 5 minutes. It's amazing what happens in 5 minutes of falling asleep. But anyway, further chatting to the nurse, she said, well, you need a mask on. And I said, I've got an exemption. And she said, are they still in effect? I don't think they are. And I said, well, I can show you the government website. You'll find that they are. So that immediately stopped her in her tracks. As for the test, I followed advice from other people and just did what I had to do without compromising my beliefs. And thankfully it came up negative. So that was good. I could be there with Mum, but every time you went into that ward, that's what they wanted you to do. So I was confronted with it again in the morning and did what I did previously and walked in. But thankfully Mum was removed from there. But honestly, it was such, there was so much more that went on. I could write a book on my mum in hospital, to be honest. It was really, like, really quite distressing and alarming to see the lack of staff, the lack of doctors, the forgetfulness of doctors and also nurses on how they were caring for my mum and how they would present information to you. And then in the next moment, it would be completely different, contradictory information. So I just made sure I was there every minute I could be there to make sure nothing happened to my mum, because I was really worried they were just going to cut her open, which is what they wanted to do for no real reason. But on leaving the hospital, what really struck out to me was the stations where you pick up your masks. They just had like little open bins, and they were just overflowing with masks, and there were masks all over the floor, you know, just, and I was watching people still leaving, just chucking them on the pile. And I'm like, this is absolutely mystifying to me how anyone's brain logically works, thinking, I've got to wear this, there's germs, I'm going to catch something, I'm going to give something to someone else, et cetera, et cetera. Yet I'm just going to throw it off, and somehow my germs, apparent germs, are not going to be flying around through this area. I was just gobsmacked. It was an absolute, like, you know, it showed you what a joke it is, because, you know, if we are in like a pandemic, as they still like to call it, wouldn't you be having, you know, biohazard bins sitting there, like, you know, that you put your stuff in and that it's all enclosed. But no, it's all just flying around, doing its thing. And yeah, but then, you know, being in the hospital for 7 days, it was very evident that hygiene wasn't the first and foremost thing for these people to be thinking about. They're just surviving working in there. So, and when I say surviving, that, you know, they're doing double shifts because there's people that can't come in to work. They're using up private rooms for COVID patients in any ward. So if there's a bed available in, you know, the heart cardiac ward, you'll get put in there. If there's one, obviously, like oncology, you'll get put in there. If there's one in surgical, you'll get put in there. My mum had a lady that had come out of ICU put in her ward and, like, in her room, and she should have been getting one-on-one care, not, you know, a nurse taking care of 8 patients at a time. So it's wild. It's really not the place you want to be. I think we need to really, you know, really, really look after our health and try our best to stay out of these places. I know they have their, you know, their place, but yeah, decisions aren't being made very well in there, I don't think. And I just think that, you know, our health is definitely suffering for it. So yeah, it big eye opener, wasn't it, Adam? Like, you know, you saw me coming home quite stressed, and I'm not usually a very stressed person, but my adrenals were going nuts for days just trying to digest what I was seeing and what I had to do as well. Really not the place to be, and I'm sure many of your listeners would probably have similar experience to me. I know I'm not alone in that regard, but I've had some pretty wild stories come from friends as well in the past 6 months in hospital, and what they've had to do to advocate for their family members. And I can't reiterate that enough, how important to just do not leave a family member in the hospital. Like, you fight tooth and nail to be there. You have to be there, or otherwise I don't know what's going to happen to them, and I don't think it'll be good. Yeah. Have you had any experiences, Adam, from other people reporting about hospital visits and...
Oh, tons.
Like I had? Yeah.
Yeah. And with your situation, I was drinking more beer than normal, so...
I stressed you out.
No, but it's... yeah, you do. Well, I guess it's not going to be as bad now. I mean, imagine if that happened to you during the lockdowns. And, you know, I did meet families who lost loved ones and couldn't attend the funerals.
Yeah.
And had to do it via, like, you know, like on their computers and stuff, Zoom sort of funeral things. I mean, some terrible things happened, so at least... Yeah. It's not as bad now, but, you know, it's still intense with the experience you had there. But as you said, yeah, it's just not a place you want to be. But, you know, in this case, your mum landed in there and there's nothing you can do, and you had to enter that system and play their game, you know, of manipulation and lies and deceit and bullshit, really. When we all know that there's no virus, and there never was, there never will be. There are no variants, there's nothing there. No. It's all a game, but they're still playing it, you know, and they're still pushing this nonsense. I don't know what happened in Western Australia. From what I could gather, they took everything out. Obviously, people are pressuring here in New South Wales. Dom Perrottet and these people, there's been radio discussions live on air where, you know, paramedics, John Larder, I think, rang up. That was an interesting one. And he's, you know, this is the Premier of New South Wales admitting, live on air that the jabs don't work anyway. And he said, I want to be clear, they don't work. So, I mean, really, the whole thing's falling to pieces anyway. But you've still got these hospital systems enforcing this line. And, it is, you know, as I was saying to you, just spit on it or shove it in a piece of fruit or something. They don't fucking know anything. These nurses don't know anything. They're just telling you to. And this is an incredible thing that your mother was inserted into a certain area in the hospital, and every single time that you wanted to go in or out, they wanted you to stick one of those things up your nose, which is extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous.
And that included if you wanted to go out and to the toilet, because there's not a toilet for you in the ward. And so if you wanted to go out to the toilet, You had to do another test.
On re-entering going to the toilet after you already took a test to go in there in the first place.
If you were gone for 5 or 10 minutes, it's like, oh, we'll do another one. And I remember saying to one of the nurses, do you really think it's going to show up that quickly? I mean, what a waste of resources. I mean, the amount of kits they had sitting there waiting for people I was just gobsmacked. But I mean, my sister said to me, are you going to bring, you know, Odin up, my son? And I was like, no way. And she's like, why? And I went, well, he's never had a rat test. I hadn't until recently, you know. And she's like, and? And I said, well, that's quite a traumatic experience for a child. I'm not putting him through that. She doesn't agree with my views. So I wasn't going to go into why I wouldn't do a rat test or be wasting my breath. But she just laughed in my face like I was a lunatic. And but this is where you got to weigh up. Like, you know, how far are you going to go? You know, I had a feeling that Mum wouldn't be in that ward for long, and thankfully she wasn't. But also the way the medical system works is just, you know, I mean, it's not a new story that I'm telling, and I know that, but this push for surgery for a, you know, we think she may have stones, we don't know, but we'll remove the gallbladder because, you know, you don't want this to happen to you again. And Mum said, but why is it happening? And it really struck out to me what they said was like, it doesn't matter how it happened, it's how we get rid of it now. And I thought, well, that just sums up the last couple of years for, you know, the push of vaccine mandates, because that would be the general thought form of a population was, doesn't matter how I got it, it's now how do I not have it or get rid of it. So that, oh, we'll take an injection. If people could vax themselves, we know they want to put one out for cancer, but say like to not get a mozzie bite, they do that. Like they give their kid a vaccine to stop them from crying if they could. That's just how ridiculous our society is. They never look at why things happen. They just look at how we're just going, oh, well, we'll just stop it. And, you know, my mum was close to getting surgery without them even discussing it to us. And if it wasn't for me being there and pushing and saying, well, I don't think that that's good enough, and I think you should let her have the antibiotics and see how she goes, they consented to that. And I thought, well, even if they didn't, I was going to take her out of the hospital. I had no qualms to take her out and go somewhere else. And actually my mum was feeling that way too. She just said, you know, I don't want to be here, I'd rather go somewhere else. So we do actually have that right to go, well, I'm not satisfied, I'm out of here. What can they do? They can't lock you in, and, well, in time they will. But, you know, but it was quite eye-opening just how they manipulate an older person, that they can see who's frail and a bit concerned, you know, concerned as to why they are in the position that they're in. And I remember saying to one of the nurses, I said, I'm not leaving mum's side. I'm here to advocate for her. And she said, you do that. You need to do that. That's really good. We need more people doing that. She said, actually, there's a job in the hospital that does that for patients. You'd be great at it. And I thought, yeah, imagine going for that job. I'd have to be 5 time dosed up and probably doing bloody tests every freaking morning when I'm
You'd have to be the
working.
Walking Dead.
And I thought, no thanks. sad as that is, what a great job that would
It's
be.
a great role, but everything's inverted, so
But
it's.
yeah, there's nothing about your health involved in that role. You're actually going to compromise your health to get the job. And it's way too big a risk we're seeing with, like in hospital, I can't tell you how many people I saw around me that had some kind of organ failure. We know about the heart issues. My pastor was telling me because he actually had to go to hospital recently, and amazingly enough, he was bitten by a red-belly black snake and had absolutely no effects, even though he had venom in his body. So they released him. Like,
Wow.
he was fine, but
That's a big blow. A red-bellied black snake, that's a severe.
Well, he wasn't afraid. He said, I've been bitten before and I was okay. And and I'll be okay from this. So he just thought, oh,
She'll be right.
protocol, I'll just go and check that if it's a dry bite or not. But sure enough, he had no symptoms or anything of suffering. But he had venom in his body. But while he was there, he spoke to the nurses and said, had a conversation about the right, people coming in with heart issues. And this nurse said that she had lost a patient that day, and it was a young mum with children, and she had no previous or prior health issues or heart issues, and she presented herself and she died. And when he, asked further, she said, oh, well, I can't really say. And he's like, well, you can, but a lot of them won't say, as we know, because they want to hold on to their jobs. But I experienced some nurses saying to me, like, oh, we've got these fancy curtains and they're meant to stop COVID going between patients in wards, right? And she said, but somehow they don't go through the little air holes up the top, that's just like a fishnet thing. She said, COVID's amazing. It can just stop at a certain height, but it also can spread to various heights when it wants to. And so I found that quite interesting that, even a nurse is just picking up on, the whole nonsense of the story. But and then I found an actual mask on the window of my car when I came out to it, and I thought, oh yeah, people are really, really giving a shit about other people, aren't they, if that's what they believe is going to kill them. So it's a mad world. I look at it and I laugh and I think, well, I'm not afraid. It's just crazy, and we just have to keep going and doing our own thing. And it's crumbling around us as we speak, but I think more of these hospital staff need to really, like, stand up against it. But now that, the financial sector's crumbling and we're going to go into a recession and more, people just aren't willing to compromise their financial security, which I understand too, but it's very, very sad that, it's just further coercion. Just further coercion, and it just won't stop.
Fear as well. That's what I've been talking about.
Absolutely,
We
yeah.
knew there was going to be a lot of PSYOPs, psychological operations and distractions this year after what was done to people in the last few years.
Mm.
I mean, look at what's happening in the United States now. They're going to arrest Donald Trump, you know, because of some porn star. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was saying this on the Night Watch podcast the other night that money is a big way to control people. And when there's that threat of financial ruin or collapse or whatever, mm-hmm. It puts people in that fear state. And there's just so many distractions going on and so much happening now. Mm-hmm. Of course. And how do you distract a planet of people that were just injected with this stuff and against their will and forced into it and locked down and everything that was done? How are you going to... Because there's going to be anger brewing. And look at France now. It's just a mess. Maybe that's what they want, complete chaos. You know? But it's a lot of distractions happening. But, we just have to... try to really just look at it and keep calm. But I mean, you've had a really unique situation there in the hospital system with your mother, because you know, like myself and our listeners, you've avoided this whole nonsense over the last few years. You know, you've kept the family safe. You've not worn the mask. You didn't get the injections. You've not social distanced. You've not played into any of it. And we have survived, and we've navigated, and we've done our best, and it's been difficult, and we've been discriminated against and everything, you know. And all of us have been through a lot in the last few years, but we've survived and we've come through okay. But then suddenly the other week, you were thrust back. Yes. You were thrust directly into the belly of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's not like this is your mother, so it's like you have to go there. And now suddenly you're being forced to do something that you never wanted to do and that you've not done. You know, if you're just looking at a rat test or wearing masks, I've had this as well, and now they're shoving it in your face, and it's like, well, this is do or die now. This is where it becomes real. You're now having to deal with this absolutely directly. And what are you going to do? Because your mother's in that room and they're telling you all these things. And you're like, and that's what I was saying. We're having all these drinks at home trying to discuss at your place. We're trying to discuss, what do we do here? And wasn't that an important discussion that we had?
Yeah.
Because we were able to level things and we were able to say, hey, go back and ask this and do that and let's see what's happening. But it turns out that you had some surgeons in the hospital who were kind of doing that car salesman thing with your mother, sort of saying, well, it's gallbladder, we have to cut it out, you know. Because this is the way that modern medicine deals with things that they don't understand with the human body, you know.
That's right.
It's just cut and burn. But now you were faced with this situation that they want to perform an operation, a serious operation on your mother, who's scared, in hospital, locked in this area, needs you there, and you've come home and you're like, what the hell do we do? They want to do this operation and they're kind of telling you, you got to buy it now. We've got to do it now. We can't wait till the morning. We need this thing. And through careful management and discussions and ideas and being aware, we've actually come out on the other side. Now, we don't want any kind of ultrasound and any of this technology performed there. But and we do not want any antibiotics used at all. But in this situation where we're in a hell situation we don't know what we're going to do, antibiotics were administered for your mother, and actually in that situation, as they can do, they helped.
Doctor.
We obviously understand that antibiotics can cause serious harm and even death and complications down the line. But it got her out of that situation to a point where now she's looking at a point where, you know, hey, I need to look after myself a little bit more. And we may be able to introduce protocols to do some cleansing here and some, you know, and introduce some ideas to her where she can say, well, because as we were saying before the podcast, it's not till you get a real hit and that that sort of scary thing with your health where surgeons are waiting next door with a pair of scissors, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And in this situation, bloody hell, they could have killed her. You don't know what's going to happen in the corridors of these places, where they're going to be taken and what operations they're going to perform and how risky it is. Mm. And then next thing you know, you're waiting in a waiting room with a cup of coffee. Oh, sorry, yeah. Nadine, your mum's passed. And you're like, well, hang on, what? You know, a lot of this happens to a lot of people. So this is a very serious, edgy, complicated kind of situation that we all dealt with. And I think it ended up pretty damn good at the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, like, having you there, obviously, with Mark to talk to, it was just, it was so good for me. Like, I can't thank you enough because, I mean, you're like a voice of reason for me as well. So to have you and Mark there to talk about it was like, yeah, this is good. Like, I've got, you're giving me more things to think, you know, this is what we can do. Just keep at it, keep, you know, pushing forward, because this push for the surgery was so strong and they were coming up with different statistics within, you know, 10 hours of each other. And you're like, how has that just gone from that to that? Because it was like, they're going, well, you don't need a gallbladder. It has no function.
Nah.
You can live without it.
Yeah, chop it out.
Oh, yeah, why not? Like, let's just chop it out and live happily ever after. But when you've got someone who, you know, my mum's 78. She's grown up in a different era. She still looks at her parents as to what they've had done. So my grandmother, her mother, had her gallbladder out. So mum's thinking of that and the symptoms that Nan had shown, and mum wasn't showing any of these symptoms, you know. And she said, oh, well, you know, mum had it out and she was good after that. I said, yeah, but mum, this is like the first time you've had a problem. Like, do you just go and cut an organ out? Like, it's like going, oh, I had a heart issue, cut it out, give me a new one. Like, you don't do that. Like, you can't, you just can't. Unless it's like life or death, we need to investigate and
get you're on the edge of the knife there, Neen.
Well, yeah.
Right on the edge of the blade.
If I hadn't pushed, it would have been a very different outcome. And boy, you know, I don't know how they worked out that one minute she was too frail to have surgery to, oh no, she'll be fine. And they said she had a 5% risk factor of anaesthetic. And I went, well, and even my sister said 5% is too high. You know, we look at vaccines and we look at the damage done. They go, oh, it's very rare to have a side effect, or it's very rare for people to die. So even if they say only 10% of people report, isn't 10% quite high? That I like, imagine if everyone reported their injuries or deaths, like it'd be a different story. But what we need to understand is it 5%, 2%, that's a percentage that's not zero. And we know that, you know, anaesthetics can have a whole plethora of things, but I think when you start looking at, particularly now, that really concerned me was that my mother now has had more vaccines than she's probably ever had in her life. And we're dealing with mRNA and what's going to happen to her when her body takes another hit of something extremely strong that's knocking her out for a while. Is she strong enough to come back from that? So that in itself was really concerning. And particularly being so close to my dad's anniversary, you know, obviously you're going, gosh, no, this can't, we don't want anything happening to mum. But, I mean, look, it's still a work in progress. We've still got to go through, follow-up, appointment back at the Mater Hospital, and I said to mum, we'll make sure that appointment's made with me taking you. She said, oh, absolutely. I'm not going without you. So that's wonderful. Like, she really, she said she didn't know how she would have got through all of this without me being there and ensuring that the right thing was happening for her. But yeah, look, I know we're very lucky and not everyone gets to have that happy outcome. But yeah, it's not good what's going on in there. And I just, so many people are suffering unnecessarily. And I think doctors and surgeons have a lot to answer for because these, I honestly feel really sorry for the nurses because, you don't see a doctor. They come past once a day, maybe you get them for 5 minutes. The rest of the time, you're in the hands of nurses that are just doing what they've been told to do. I mean, they are worth their weight in gold. And I know that's a cliche to say because that's what people say, but I mean, these people, they're phenomenal what they do, and they're being pushed to the brink, like they're getting cross, they're getting frustrated because they're so tired and they're so overworked and overworked because there's no bloody staff there. So it's got to, it's unfortunately, it's not going to change. It's going to be like this until a whole new system arises. So whenever that will be, I have no idea. But in the meantime, we need to be falling onto our doctors and nurses and surgeons that no longer work in those places because of the mandates that are being put on them and create our own new system, really. I mean, that's what it comes to. We need to be looking outside the door of that and see what is before us of how we can have a better system running. That's a very futuristic thought, I know, but yeah, it definitely is a massive eye-opener to better holistic care, looking at the whole person, not just an outcome. Look at why things have happened and treat people with a lot more dignity and respect and yeah, not looking at the money. It just shows you the money. The money is behind it all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
massive.
they were gonna perform a serious surgery on your mother that she didn't need, end up needing. And we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but at this point she's okay. And so yeah, I mentioned a few times when you were talking there, I just dug it up again. It's an older one from Natural News, and I've talked about it on the podcast a little bit. And the title is "Unnecessary Surgery Exposed." Why 60% of all surgeries are medically unjustified, and how surgeons exploit patients to generate profits. And it just talks about every year millions of Americans going under the knife, enduring pain, and shelling out thousands of dollars for surgeries they didn't actually need. So it was an interesting article that I brought up a few times, but I didn't have in front of me, and I thought I'd see if it was still up. And is saying that estimated 7.5 million unnecessary medical and surgical procedures are performed each year, writes Gary Null, PhD in death by medicine. And that's a really incredible article. I may have posted it on the Kras Files website. They're saying women and elderly women, especially at high risk here of unnecessary surgery, that they're kind of selling to people. And pushing them in. It's a big article, too much to go through now. But this is basically needless surgeries and higher profits for doctors and surgeons, obviously in hospitals, pushing these people through. And as you said as well, when the family's there and their mom or their dad or someone they care about, or someone you care about is taken in and you're waiting, and they come out and they say this, that they need this, any kind of surgery, whatever it is, and they talk you into it. What are you going to do in that situation? you know, you've gone in there and busted through and become part of this whole situation, but a lot of people will just take it. And anyway, that's a Death by Medicine by Gary Null that people can have a look at, and have a look at the influences of this and modern medicine and what they're doing. And this is actually a massive chunk is actually not needed at all. And you just wonder your situation without you there and without your knowledge and being prepared and understanding what's going on and that awareness. This is why I always say on the podcast how important awareness is of the everything around you. It's absolutely so important. Without awareness and self-awareness and all of this, we'd be in big trouble. But you're aware and you're able to counter that situation and kind of milk it out a little bit, and then we've had a different outcome here where they haven't chopped out anything and rushed you into something that you're not sure about or not prepared for. Obviously, you have an elderly woman here who's scared and confused as well. And thank God, you know, you have family members as yourself, your mum, you know, gone in there and been there, because imagine how many poor old dears get chucked into the hospitals and you've got this, you've got that, we have to do that, and there's no one to speak up for them. You know, family members might come in, they get told this, and okay, go ahead, doctor, you know. Sorry, mum's dead, or sorry, this has happened, or there's other complications. You just don't know. And so I think in this kind of situation, it's very stressful. It's very stressful, but you just have to do the best you can for your loved ones. And they're counting on you as well, because they're feeling lonely and there's no one to stick up for them. Imagine that, you know. It's a scary thing. I mean, look at what they did in the nursing homes, and they locked those poor old dears in their rooms, and their families couldn't even see them based on an absolute lie. It was just absolute, it's criminal. You know, I hope that these people, Dr. Kerry Chant and ScoMo and all these people that were involved, I really hold on hope that one day they're going to hang for what these criminal bastards did to people, you know, to human life. It's disgusting. But in this situation, it is really a knife's edge. It really is. What do you do? What do the family do? What do we say? And I think you've alluded to this before, and we had a conversation about this, and I've talked about it a lot. A lot of people are just too scared to stand up to the doctors or the nurses.
Well, and look, you know, I don't want to throw my sister under the bus, but she said to me, look, you know, things might not make sense, but they have protocols and you've just got to go with it. And I thought, well, there you go. There's the mentality. Might not make sense,
but just do as you're told.
Just do as you're told. Yet, you know, she was quite happy to have her mask on, have a RAT test, and then really not go visit a lot. But, you know, it then became a whole thing of like, well, I'm wearing a mask and you're not. So, you know, people did look at me like I was just the cretin of the earth because I didn't have a mask on. But what I did find too with doctors and nurses, they actually took their mask off because I said, Mum can't hear you properly. She needs to see your mouth. You know, we all lip read too. So you're trying to talk to people who only have eyes and they're kind of yelling at you because they know you can't hear them properly. But there's still such a culture around, particularly obviously in hospitals, you don't see a lot of people wearing masks outdoors now, but they look at you like they are so more far superior because they're doing what they're told. And I did have one person ask me like, why are you not wearing a mask? And I said, I have an exemption. Oh, how did you get that? Why have you got an exemption? And I just replied, I said, well, if I told you the reason I didn't wear a mask, you'd be mortified. And I said, I don't think you need any more horror than you're experiencing here right now. But this is where you go, well, I could list things, but she doesn't know one of my stories as to why I don't wear a mask. And it's not something I really want to divulge with people either. So, this is where people, they're quick to judge you on things. And yes, we're judging people, looking at them going, what are you doing? Why are you wearing this mask? If you knew, you wouldn't wear it, So we're all judging each other essentially. And you would hope, I don't want to look at people badly for what they're doing, but not a but. It's just when you understand why people are doing it, you can be more kinder to them. But when people are treating you like rubbish because you choose not to fall into that line and question it, then you've got a problem, and you've got to tell people some of your whys too, as to why you don't want to fall into this thing. Because I saw people coming to visit their loved ones in mum's room, and as soon as they saw me without a mask on, they took theirs off, and they weren't questioned by the nursing staff. They were quite happy for people to sit there without a mask on. So I think that speaks volumes to how much people want things to go back to normal. Normal being a nappy face-free society. Leave the nappies for children's bums and we'll be fine, But it's definitely like it rolls into how much people really care for the environment when you've got all this crap floating around that they're wearing, and they don't care where they drop it, either. But there is so much distraction going on right now, Adam. And I look around and I look at the election coming up and what Mark Latham had to experience last night. What Posey Parker's dealing with not being able to speak because you've got transgender movements coming in, going, they're anti-us and blah, blah, blah.
And Nazis.
There is just so much infiltration on every level that honestly, it's so nice when you can just be in your own little space. And that's what I actually found myself at the hospital when I'd see mum. We just had our own little area, in her space where we weren't being bothered, and it was actually a sanctuary, crazily enough. And it's such a juxtaposition because it's like, how could going into a hospital give you some peace as well? That was a weird thing for me after a few days when she was settled in this one spot. It was actually a really peaceful place to go to because the people in her ward, they all wanted to have a laugh, and they wanted to just see the lightness in life. They were there for some pretty serious reasons, and they wanted to forget about it all and really just connect with each other. And I thought that was really beautiful. And because when you step out of those doors, there's so much disconnection going on, and there's so much divide and distraction going on that people just feel like they just have to be at war with everything all the time. And I think we need to like seriously look at what we're fighting and just put it into a priority of things. Like with my mum, it was like, well, I have to be there, so I will do this dance, but I'll do it my way. And I'm really glad I came out of that in a good way, even though it was really disgraceful, the whole experience at the same time of what they were doing to mum. So, yeah, I think, bigger picture is try not to get distracted yourself in all the stuff, all the rabbit holes. I saw a great meme today that just summed it up for me. It's like, How many rabbit holes have you been down? Oh, I know. Have you been going down some rabbit holes? And there's this little kid sitting on this enormous size bunny. It's like sometimes you got to choose how many you want to go down or how long you want to be down there for. But you got to come up for air and you've got to, really just see things for what they are and, pick one thing at a time to deal with. Otherwise, it's just way too much to cope with. But and also see the positivity from it all as well. So this has really opened my eyes to how bad it has been for people, and how, yes, it's lightened now, but it's still really heavy in the hospital system and medical system. And that's been like that for longer than a couple of years. It's been like that for a very, very long time. So I'm grateful for the experience, and I'm grateful for like yourself and my husband who stood beside me and helped me through it the best way possible, which was to keep the focus on mum and what we could do for her to ensure that we didn't lose her unnecessarily.
That's right, and incredible, huh? And unbelievable. It is really an important story that we bring up in finishing tonight, Neen, plugging out for the night, just changing direction a little bit. You mentioned Mark Latham there. Just for folks who were saying, what happened was people have been charged and riot police were called in after a mob clashed with LGBT or LGBTQ, what is it, P now for pedophile, activists outside Mark Latham's speech. So Mark Latham has done a speech over there in Sydney's West, and these troublemakers were brought in just like they are in Melbourne, and caused a big commotion through these LGBTQ people. And it's all the same, the Black Lives Matter and the Nazis and all of this. They're being brought in now to, as people wake up, as we always say, as people wake up and people want answers, and they just had enough of this whole system, the system itself becomes more desperate, and we start to see all this malfunction sort of taking place, And so that's what's happened to Mark there, who had nothing to do with it. So
No.
they've created a big problem here. In finishing, then we have the New South Wales elections coming up. You have been doing a bit of work with the IMOP, but you're looking at kind of supporting One Nation. I was looking at an interview with Ricardo Bossi, definitely around Sydney. We had to do a trip today to pick up some things on Gumtree, and I saw Ricardo Bossi posters absolutely everywhere. He's definitely stepped it up. I'm interested in what you think about him. I know you're not supporting him, but I would say, listening to some of his interviews, it is pretty refreshing to hear what he has to say. It is another option for folks, definitely. He is claiming he's not a political kind of party to go in there with politicians. They're going in there to expose criminals and corruption at the highest levels, and that's what we're seeing in this Corporation of Australia. That's what it is, a company. But I spoke with Malcolm Roberts the other week. He's a gentleman. He's very upfront. He's dry. He doesn't mince words, and I think that they are doing really pretty positive. And I was also mentioning the Canberra protests where we were with you. We went to those, and we did see at Parliament House, Pauline Hanson was out there with the mobs talking to everybody.
And
It's a
Malcolm.
strong party. Yeah, it's a strong party. And in looking at the New South Wales election coming up this Saturday, what are your tips?
Well, look, I think there's a few options, but I guess, parties won't get in unless you vote, of course. So, I've always supported IMOP from its inception. I thought it was just a phenomenal group that Michael O'Neill had put together. And Michael O'Neill is one of the most genuinely, passionate, kindest man I've know, and he really, he has the right intentions there. I think he's a really good person to be able to talk to people without sparking a fight. And I think that's quite a unique thing, because a lot of, a lot of politics always escalates pretty quickly into something else. However, he hasn't been able to get a seat yet. So you're sort of like, well, if people voted for IMOP, it would give him a chance. But then you've got the likes of Ricardo Bossi. I mean, he was like IMOP. They had to go through lots to ensure that their party was seen as a party. I'm not 100% sold on him. I don't, on Ricardo Bossi, I don't know. I don't hear him telling me anything new. I definitely don't like the way he talks about going to war all the time, because I think that is a real incitement of violence in a lot of ways. However, there are things that he says that are really interesting as well, and he definitely knows how to speak what the people like. So, I mean, that's my personal opinion. I don't like him or not like him, I'm just impartial really to him. He's not really doing it for me. But then I look at One Nation, and I just see so much positivity what they're doing in Parliament, and I really admire Malcolm Roberts, and I really admire what Mark Latham's doing. He's questioning things. He's getting the job done. So in lots of ways, I feel quite, quite confident in him being able to retain a seat. But I guess the big picture is, we don't vote for Liberal and Labor or the Greens. We ensure that those parties don't get our votes going that way. And I definitely saw today, I took my mum to vote where she lives, and majority of people were taking the One Nation slips, not the Labor. And I know Labor's been a stronghold vote, like stronghold seat where she lives, for a very, very long time. But recently they had a like a talk with the candidates, and the candidate for the Labor, Kate Washington, had a complete fizz out to the crowds of people there that had come to listen to Michael O'Neill and Australia One. And she called them all bigots, and had, said that they were all just discriminating against homosexuals and transgender people, and that she wouldn't support this, and she stormed out. So, and this is a woman that has a transgender child, so she's definitely, and she's gay as well, so she couldn't answer the questions when people talked about safe schools and that whole program and how it's gone misshapen. So I think time's changing, and vote for who you want to see in, and obviously leave the majors last is always the big message. But yeah, I think, go with what feels right for you, and let's hope that these people that, like A1, IMOP, One Nation, can all retain, or get a seat and retain a seat. I think that's really important. So, but don't not vote. I think vote, make it count. I mean, a lot of people think it's pointless, but I don't know. I mean, you can sit on your hands and not do it, and then complain all you like. But what have you done? You've done nothing. So may as well go and get your vote in there and hope that it's counted, and know that you've done something rather than nothing.
I did see a. I was reading through a mainstream media, corporate media article the other night on the podcast, and it was stating that in in many areas and rural areas in New South Wales, electorates, One Nation could actually clean up, but they're not running anybody. And I contacted Stephen Tripp, who I spoke to a while ago on the podcast. He was going for One Nation here in Warringah, but he's stepping it up a level, and they're working day and night. And he said that sometimes that he has to fund himself because they didn't have enough money.
Well, they do, unfortunately, with most of these majority of them, they have to put in money.
A little bit extra.
Yeah, I had a friend that ran in One Nation for the federal election, and he put in 30 grand of his own money and didn't get through. So, look, it costs a lot.
It seemed to be doing better this year, though. They definitely stepped it up to another level from what I can see. I just think it's, it appears that in a lot of areas, even in Sydney's West and a lot of areas, people are sick and fed up with Labor and Liberal, and they're looking towards One Nation, but there's no candidates there. Like, they're not running, but I guess people can still vote for them. It's just, it's a hard one. We're stuck in this vicious circle of Liberal, Labor, and the Greens. And I was looking at another articles talking about these teal independents, which are the climate-backed United Nations ones. Yeah. Apparently, they're struggling as well. They're not going to do that well. So that's a good sign. I'm happy with that. I'll take it. Well, and if the Communist Greens do bad as well, that's good. And if One Nation pick it up, I think they will. We could have a little bit of a change here.
I think so, and I think a lot of what's happened too between this election and the last is that people that ran, they're just tired. You know, they don't want to run. They didn't want to run again. They were like, oh, let's wait for the next or something. But I think what it's done is just open up a few opportunities. So I think we're definitely going to see quite a bit of change go on in these state elections for sure. It'll be good to watch and see what
happens. Get the popcorn out.
Well, I think, popcorn and maybe a, cup of tea or a glass of wine or a beer to go with it might be the way to go. See what happens.
Yes, but a big, tall glass of gin. I'll take that.
You can have the gin.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. It is. It's going to be interesting times anyway. A lot of people are looking at New South Wales because it's a little bit all over the place at the moment. And, if you look at it, and Queensland and the communist dictatorship of Victoria, we're still in a pretty good situation in New South Wales. We've always been. And I think this could be actually a good result for us. We would have to have faith in that. So, we'll know a little bit more. The next time that we connect and have a chat on the podcast, we'll be able to sort of break it all down, have a little look. And it's all about learning. We're here to learn, and it's all about, being aware, and we're living in some kind of simulation or game. That's for sure. We know that, but we can make a change. We can force change here, and I think that's already happening. If it wasn't for Malcolm Roberts and One Nation and some of these senators, we'd be signed up. ScoMo wanted to sign us up, and these people want to sign us up to this WHO treaty. And I hope people understand this name, because I've been quizzing this myself, and now I understand why we had the Dr. Kerry Chance, and we had the Brett Suttons, and we had these chief medical officers come in when they had the lockdowns to take full control, and how they had the ultimate say. And you're like, who are these people? What it is the WHO want us to sign up to this treaty, and because we're already contracted with them, and once they get this through, and this is what Malcolm was saying, they're going to put in these regional officers that are tied to the WHO. And when Mr. Bill Gates and his cronies over there call their next pandemic, these officers who are controlled by the WHO actually have the right to overrule everybody. And they will be able to say who gets locked down, where the vaccines get distributed, if you have to have them or not, basically everything. And that's when now I understand that Dr. Kerry Chant and all these zealots were actually a test. It was actually a drill to see if the public would take it. Now they're getting ready to come in for the kill. And if we sign up to this, they're going to put these people in to all of our areas, into our countries, and when they call their pandemics, they have the absolute total say, which Malcolm was still saying we can override, like we can still get around this, but it's going to be a lot more serious, and we don't want to get to that state. So one nation, mostly, were able to push the WHO treaties off. They've tried a couple of times now, and they have managed to shove them off when Joe Biden, sleepy, creepy Joe Biden in the US, he's doing deals with them now to sign them up, which means Americans could be on the verge of losing their health sovereignty and their rights to say no to these jabs. This is going to be a lot more serious now. And so, you know, this is why, if people, as you said, Neen, if people don't want to vote or they think it's all corrupted and it's not worth my time and everything, we still have to go down there and we still have to try and force change here. And if we look at Senator Antic and we look at a lot of these senators that we have in our government, and there's a lot of good guys in there in Melbourne as well. And I think we need to support these people, and we need to start taking things back here, our country back, 100%.
I think what I'd love to see more than anything is that we have all these minor parties doing things very similarly, you know, but we're dividing our votes across them. And what would be amazing is if they came together as
one. I was thinking that too,
you know. I mean, that would be the greatest thing. And I know they sort of came together as like a little coalition but not one party, and it just splits the votes, and so you lose that gumption of something really good to happen. But, you know, I don't know.
It could be happening. It could be happening.
Well, that's it. We don't know, do we?
But at the moment, One Nation or that main kind of party, I think, are getting results, so it'd be worth our vote.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And time in the general public in different areas, I'm seeing that One Nation has a lot of traction. So, and, you know, the smaller, like, I've seen a lot of, in my area, IMOP and A1, and just general people are like, oh, I've never heard of them before. Who are they? Blah, blah, blah. So it kind of, dilutes it a bit in that regard. But look, you know, as soon as people can sort of come together in parties, our votes are going to be split all over the place, unfortunately. And I don't think we're going to see smaller parties get in as such, opposed to if you vote for ones that are already in there. But yeah, it's tricky, because if you don't vote for them, they don't get in. We shall see.
I think One Nation and A1, Ricardo, will do a lot better this time. We'll see how they skewer things and what happens.
Yeah.
But we definitely want to push the Greens and the Teal independents out. And I think ever since people got tricked into voting for the Teals, they've seen no results. We had it here on the Northern Beaches. All these climate Teals got pushed in with all this money, and they've produced nothing, really. Yeah. They just do nothing. And I think people can see that now, and they're starting to get irritated. So it's going to be an interesting day. Indeed, we'll see how we go, and we'll discuss it on the next one. Anything you want to finish on?
No, I think we've done really well, haven't we? Covered a few things. But thanks again for having me on. As always, good talking to you and chatting about the world events. But I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next time as we see more things unfolding. And
absolutely, we will. And good to have you on tonight. What a story, what a situation. And a lot of people out there possibly will hear this and say, wow, I went through the exact same thing. It's amazing. But we go through these things and we come out stronger and better on the other side. It's been an incredible trip, that's for sure. And we know more than ever now. And any tricks they try to play on us, I think most people are pretty rock solid now, and they've had enough of it. So it's going to be an interesting ride ahead. as they try to force through Agenda 2030 down people's throats, and they try to put it in place and rush it through. Let's hope they make a lot more errors and a lot more people wake up, because that's all we need. We don't need everybody, but, you know, if we can start getting a lot of people waking up and on side with us, and that's why sharing information is so critical. And we want people to see information and hear podcasts and say, oh, wow, you know, I didn't think like that. I'm going to make up my mind on this or that. I'm not just going to be told what to do. So it's, you know, interesting times. We will plug out for tonight, Wednesday, the 22nd of March, 2023. It's the Kras Files podcast with Nadine and Adam, and we'll be back again, Nadine, in April to cover all the latest and go over all of this that we've discussed tonight, see how your mum is and talk about all of that and catch up on all the latest as we do. Kras Files is a very active website. There's a lot of podcasts, a lot of people on there all the time. It's good. It keeps it alive, and it's a nice thing to be continuing and to be doing. So very proud of what we're doing here. And but we need support from the public. So come in, make comments, let us know what you think, support. Tell us what you think of the podcast, share links, get active in any way that you can. As you know, Neen, there's so many things that people can do if they're a bit shy or they feel like, how do I get involved? You can do a blog, you can get on social media, you can join us on Telegram. Yeah. You can do a million and one things just absolutely. To let everyone know that you're here. And you can go to protests, you can get involved in communities, that you can help our farmers, you can do so much now, and it's really it's amazing. Have a look at what's happening in Europe and Holland, in the Netherlands, how they've pushed back there against what they're trying to do to their farming land and their farmers. And this can be done. And they're going to always, you know, they're always going to put in all these troublemakers and try and, you know, manipulate things. But I think people are wising onto it now, and we just want results. So it's going to be very interesting times ahead. So I would say to people, buckle up.
Buckle up, yeah. And I think, look, I think what you're offering to the community too is it's a great source of information to keep people in touch with what's going on in different communities. So, you know, I strongly urge people to help support keeping your platform going so they can keep in the know of what's happening in different areas with all the different people that you interview. You're giving such great information to people to use and be more educated. But, yeah, look, I mean, I could go on about community endeavours, but we can talk about that another time. But if we know what's in our backyard to help keep going with our farmers, we're going to be well better off for it. But, look, as having worked for the AVN for such a long time, you know, we can't do work without our supporters, financial support. So it doesn't have to take a lot of just a little bit of your money just to help things keep going and keep your community flourishing. So keep up the great work, Adam. Without you, we'd all be a bit stupid. but yeah, you know, I think we can all be learning so much more.
Doing the best I can, Neen, with what I have and the tools that I have, and keeping my head above the quicksand. And as I said before, if you have any local people around your area that might want to come on here and promote anything or talk about anything, anyone you meet, and say, let them know that I'm doing this. And if they have something to say, or you feel like, hey, this person's really important, what they're doing, let them know, and I'll give me their contact details. I'll sort an interview out, and we'll have a chat.
And as you say that, I actually remembered I do have one particular person that I'd like to come on and talk to you about.
Bring them on.
What's going on with children?
That's fine. That's great. Yeah. We need this, Neen, and I'm trying to. I'm really trying to dig into Australia here and get people from, you know, our country on off the ground. You know, I'm not so interested in these big international guests. You know, I get people on that I trust, but I want everyday people on the ground doing really hard work. I want them on to chat to, you know, and they've got a lot to say. And so if you know of anyone, tell them, and we can have chats.
people, so many people, and so many people with personal investments in things that they're, you know, trying to expose. And I think they just need that voice to be heard in order for people to really understand the importance of certain issues. So definitely, you definitely have more people coming on.
Let us know, Neen. Sure. And all good. We're plugging out for tonight. Right. You've got an early start or an early rise in the morning, of course. So great to have you on. And I'll shoot this link through to you when it is up and loaded. And we'll continue on the next one.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.